This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The Prius people have hit a speed bump.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Even Toyota can't navigate the credit crunch. The company has announced a 28% drop in quarterly profit. Slow sales in North America and a strengthening yen are causing Toyota's bottom line to rust. So now there will be some different numbers on certain stickers. Stacey Vanek-Smith explains.
Toyota will raise the price of its Yaris sedan by $200. The Camry hybrid will cost about $300 more. But 2008 auto sales are expected to hit 15-year lows. So why would Toyota charge more? Because it can, says global management consultant Pam Murtaugh.
Toyota has never had to rebate, meaning pay people to buy their cars the way Detroit has. So there's a lot of elasticity for Toyota.
But Toyota isn't immune to the industry's problems, says David Cole, chairman of the Center for Automotive Research. He says commodities prices have made materials more expensive, and the weak dollar has squeezed profits.
Even Toyota is really facing a crunch, partly because of the softening market here, but they have been hit very hard by the strengthening of the Japanese yen as well.
Cole says new technology and stiffer fuel efficiency requirements could also contribute to higher prices. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Speaking of higher prices, oil touched a record near $124 a barrel today. Rising oil is making things sticky for Wall Street and markets around the world. The Dow is at 12,814 after losing 206 points yesterday. The Nasdaq dropped 44 points to 2438. The S&P 500 lost 25 to 1392. Oil pressures are bringing European shares down with inflation worries, and it was a mixed day in Asia. Best Buy is plugging into Europe. The company has bought a $2 billion stake in a big British retailer called the Carphone Warehouse. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Best Buy sells 20% of all the electrical goods sold in the US. Now it wants a similar share of the European market. The deal with Britain's Carphone Warehouse is the first step. Together, the two companies plan to open a series of vast electronic superstores across Europe. This will be a first. There are no huge supermarket-size outlets devoted to electrical goods on this side of the pond. Britain's biggest existing electrical retailer, DSG, may be feeling a little nervous. Business is bad. The company's issued two profit warnings since the start of the year. And now a big, aggressive American competitor has arrived on the doorstep. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Now another food fight.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Hey, winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
The rise in food prices is pinching budgets around the world. But in Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, it's been especially painful. Haiti's main staple is rice. The price of rice has jumped nearly 80% since September, sparking deadly protests that led to the ouster of the country's prime minister. This in a country that once produced all the food it needed. As Reed Lindsay reports from Port-au-Prince, many in Haiti blame the U.S. for their hunger pangs.
Food vendor Siliana Monasse sits on a cinder block in a muddy marketplace in downtown Port-au-Prince. Siliana is selling yams in the searing heat, but there are few buyers.
I put my merchandise on the ground and I didn't sell anything all day. I can't make money to eat, to drink. I'm hungry, but I don't have anything.
Yams, manioc, millet, breadfruit, all of these used to be Haitian staples, but today they're not selling well.
Most food nowadays is from Miami. All the food we eat is imported.
At the top of this food pyramid is rice, known here as Miami rice.
Lots of Miami rice started coming into the country. Even though Haitian rice was still sold, it became too expensive. Miami rice destroyed Haitian rice.
14 years ago, at the urging of the U.S. government and International Monetary Fund, Haiti slashed its tariffs and opened its market to imports. U.S. subsidized rice poured into the Caribbean nation. Rice, once so prized it was only eaten on Sundays, suddenly became cheap enough that the average Haitian could eat it daily. Haiti became the third largest importer of U.S. grown rice, and local production of rice and traditional food nosedived.
There's no rice in the mountains. Where I came from, nobody grows rice.
That's Marie-Michelle Jean. She moved here 12 years ago from the countryside when farms began to collapse. She blames cheap imported food and a government that has done little to help the country's farmers.
Farmers aren't encouraged to grow local food. Local food is useless now.
Marie-Michelle sells rice from a sack branded with a U.S. flag. She prefers yams to rice, but says because the demand for yams is weak, she makes more money selling imported food. She's dropped her prices on rice by about 20% in the last week thanks to an emergency government subsidy. But at 50 cents a pound, it's still too pricey for most Haitians. Half the population gets by on less than a dollar a day. Vegetable vendor Siliana Monasse says she'll eat whatever she can afford to buy. Lately, the situation has become so desperate, people now talk about a Clorox hunger. A hunger so painful, it feels as if they've swallowed bleach.
Any food that comes, we'll eat. We'll take anything we can get. We're not well. We have nothing. We're hungry. Hunger is killing us.
Haiti's president, René Préval, promises to cut the price of fertilizer and improve irrigation for farmers. But those who are hungry now are skeptical that they'll see a change in food prices anytime soon. In Port-au-Prince, Haiti, I'm Reed Lindsay for Marketplace.
Tomorrow on Food Fight, digging into backyard gardens again. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.